On this episode of DC On Screen, we're going to be talking about Young Justice Season 3, The Outsiders, Part 1? Is that how you would put that, Jason?
I'll put 3.A in my notes. Whatever.
Right after this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You think of Earth as a singular planet.
In fact, it is anything but. For this is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse,
where universes and planets, such as Earth, were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane.
Some
barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 526. Today we're talking about Young Justice, season 3, what we have of it anyway. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is the man who is currently in the corner playing footsie with his own Cadmus clone, Jason Goss.
I can think of much more efficient things to do.
I don't want to hear about your sex life.
No, just teach it a lot of like house chores.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I would a lot of people say weird stuff about clones, like, oh man, if I had a clone, wink wink wink, nudge nudge nudge.
Yeah, and I'm not ruling that out, but that wouldn't be my first thought.
Yeah, it's just masturbation, it's not cheating or whatever. And that's fine. I mean, I hang around some sick people. I understand that's not most people's first go-to.
It wouldn't be the first thing I thought of. A lot of it would be like, oh, God, my life's about to get so much easier.
Right. Like, I'm going to sit out here with my wife and watch Big Brother. Will you go do the show art for the DC On Screen? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sure thing. And my second thought would be, eventually it's going to do... This is going to fold in on itself, and either it will come at me violently, trying to take charge of what I would call me Prime's life, and there may be an altercation.
You would call it me Prime, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe that would be the case, or secondary case, it might just decide, you know what, I've realized I don't need you, and I'm going to strike it on my own. And I have to be like, my first thought would be, well, we had a good run.
Yeah, it would, your clone.
Godspeed, like, I'll see you around Christmas.
I feel like, you know, we have a situation here in Young Justice where we have Jim Harper, we have Will Harper, and Roy Harper.
Right.
And they're like, maybe we'll go into business with each other, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea for the show. I enjoyed the hell out of that episode.
Yeah.
And I had even forgotten that Jim Harper was a clone. Like, I didn't have time to go back and watch the first two seasons again, but it hasn't been... for anyone who hasn't listened to our review of the first two seasons...
We have not.
For me, it hasn't been that long.
No.
Like, I mean, it was like a year and a half, 2 years.
I watched them around that time to refresh myself, too, and it's been long enough that I've forgotten some details, and when the show popped it up, I was like, oh, yeah, that happened. But not so long that I don't remember overall the story of where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. See, I had forgotten. I remembered in the comics that Jim Harper was the uncle of Roy Harper, but I didn't remember that there was a Cadmus clone Jim Harper.
Yeah, that was a thing.
So, you know, little things like that I kind of blanked out on.
Right. And, need a little exposition here and there. It's a good thing. Exposition is not the devil's son make it out to be.
There was a couple times where I had to pause and go over to Young Justice Wiki.
Oh, he's that guy. Gotcha.
Yeah, Snapper Carr. I didn't know who the hell that guy was. I was just like, what? Who's this Ben Affleck looking dude from Argo?
Yeah, there are going to be some gaps. It's been a while. But speaking to that, having what, 4 years, I think, between seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Not quite. I want to say around 4 years. I should have looked up when season two ended, but...
Four or five, I thought.
It's... I mean, yeah, it's been a chunk. And I feel like the show came back when, and pretty much was the same show. I was proud of that.
Yeah, they did a good job of being the same show. By the way, I forgot to finish my thought. One of my favorite episodes is with the clones. Yeah. But if I had a clone, there's no way. If I had several clones, there's no way I would employ those assholes. That's no way to run a business. I need people who are different from me, because we're all going to be doing the same stupid shit. We're all going to be sitting there, like, you know, binge watching a show or looking at the same meme.
Right.
We're not going to get our work done. Anyway, on to the actual show. What are you talking about now?
Fair enough. I was glad. All right. I don't know if it would have worked out any other way, but I was glad the show kept the main producers came back to help. I think all of the vocal cast for the show came back. I mean, it was ridiculous how many people this many years later were ready, willing, and able to hop back into this and do something that felt like the show I enjoyed. And I got to Young Justice after it had already been canceled, so I knew what I was getting into, and I didn't have to have that sense of like, oh my god, we're being replaced by something that's going to have younger toy sales, because this is skewing towards adult audiences, and we didn't expect that. It was a terrible reason to move on from a show. The toy sales aren't working out.
Yeah.
How do we sell Artemis? I don't understand that. Blah, 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 blah. Give me something more kid-friendly.
Yeah. I don't... Like, it did feel like the same show. It felt like a natural progression, at least.
Yeah.
But it didn't quite feel like the same show. And I think I've been thinking really hard about it, because I while I did enjoy the show, I didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I enjoyed the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and again, we're only halfway through. I think a large part of that is we barely got any Calder.
That's a big, like, it's a big breaking point for you?
I love Calder. Like, he's one of my favorite characters on the show.
I agree. It was one of the more rewarding parts of this season that you see he's not only Aquaman now, he's straight up in charge this round of the Justice League.
Yeah, and it was killing me every episode. I'm like, are we going to find out what happened to Arthur? Are we going to find out what happened to Aquaman? Or what? Why is Calder Aquaman? I don't understand. Yeah. Like Mira and the freaking... Like, I don't understand. What's happening?
There's plenty of time for it. Around that time, something I do love about Young Justice is they play with pieces of the universe that pieces of DC's, you know, 80-year canon that are sometimes just forgotten about. Sometimes you don't care. I mean, I made a huge deal out of how they turned Sportsmaster into someone that was actually a formidable character. Like, that was impressive to me.
Yeah.
And even then, like the first, well, I think it was the first episode, the Batman Inc. name drop, still absolutely on points. It totally something I expect from this show to just throw that in there. You don't necessarily need a follow up for it, but it made sense. They didn't force it. It does. It keeps striking me that this show is able to pull off things that I think other shows couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I love what it does, and as far as it is unafraid to just kill folk off.
Yeah.
Like, long-standing, big wig people.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of shocking to me that they were, like, so willing to put this season out and say, by the way, Aquaman's not a thing. Aqualad is now Aquaman.
Right.
Right, whereas Aquaman is so huge right now at the box office. They didn't know it was going to be huge, but...
I think... Maybe within the camps they knew, but I think this show in particular knows that it has a very loyal audience. And if it just keeps doing what it's doing and doing that well, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a complaint. I'm proud of them, and I'm proud of DC Universe for letting them do whatever the hell they want to. Even if that is a little troubling for me. Was it troubling for you that they kept killing Violet so gruesomely?
No, I kind of applauded it.
I get it that she's like not trained.
Yeah, I mean it was good because there ends up being a reason that she's not emotionally all that involved in that, you know. And the first time that fire monster like face planted her ass, I thought, oh goddamn, this show does take chances, doesn't it? That was Uh-huh. I was starting to like that girl. Oh, okay, she's back. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we'd already seen her come back to life before that, and
yeah, but you didn't know the extent of it, and then they show the brutality of it. Really, just the fire monster with his head over or hand over her entire head, and you hear the screams, and you see the half eaten away face, mm-hmm. and everything. I thought, man, this it's a pretty adult damn show. I really enjoy that part.
Yeah, there was a point where, like, I think it was when Lobo just basically gutted her or whatever.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I said, this girl on this show basically lives in the refrigerator, man. Like, she's Kenny from South Park. Like, she gets killed.
Yes, the Markovian, no.
The Markovian cat Geoforce, he just screams, no! Like, oh my gosh. Like, he's not learning that she's coming back.
I get the refrigerator part, but it's I think it's different because wait, like with her, they're constantly killing her and testing her limits, but at the same time they're also realizing that she has virtually no limits, like that she's one of the most by far the biggest weapon they have at this point, I think.
Yeah. No, I liked her character just fine. It seemed a little bit gratuitous that they just kept killing her in like the worst, most gruesome ways imagine.
But, just awful.
Like ways it seemed that a little much.
I think they were enjoying the fact that they didn't have a censor department to go through anymore.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of like stretching your legs. Oh, man, it's nice not to have to run this by anybody. Hey, Jeff John, do you like it? Yeah, I'm good. All right, thanks. That's it.
Yeah.
By the way, Lobo's a little bit. Always fun to see him on the show.
It's always fun to see Lobo. Yeah.
Lobo. I think they do a pretty good job with the Lobo portrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of the lines that I really enjoyed this season where he finally does leave, and victoriously, mind you, and says, like, don't feel bad. You bastards did better than most. You know? Like, that's a perfect Lobo line right there.
That's really always the best way to do Lobo. When he just pops down, he fights with somebody like, you know, Superman or somebody, whoever.
Yeah.
And, you know, they both land some good punches, and Lobo's like, well, I gotta take off. Whatever.
But,
or he just thinks he's won in there. He leaves.
He's always condescendingly impressed when someone stands up to him. Uh-huh. I mean, he's almost unkillable. It's not like someone's really going to defeat him. But like when he runs into Superman or something, it's always like, it's going to be a good fight. And then afterwards, if you were that type, I'd have a beer with you afterwards, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I dig Lobo, man.
Yeah,
he's a lot of fun.
Fun character. Like, I'm super excited he's on Krypton coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Still holding out hope. Still crossing my fingers for that Lobo movie that's been in development for freaking 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Fragging 3 years, my bad.
Right. So, there were reports that the voice actor was coming back. We were a little concerned. We thought maybe he was in the Speed Force or something, and he might very well be still, but Wally West ain't come back yet, man.
No, I think that's something they're holding close to their vest. Because it was a tough moment in the show. That was a powerful moment in the show. I don't think they want to blow that load until it's really screen time.
With the exception of Violet or Halo, if you will.
Yeah.
I think one of the real strengths of the show is that they don't bring people back generally. Once they die, they die.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope they don't bring Wally back.
I get the hope for it. He was a lot of fun on the show, but again, if they never do, I'd applaud the stakes mattering here.
Mm-hmm. And when in that very bizarre little Gar episode, when he sees Wally as the captain of his ship, that kind of broke me a little bit.
Mm, yeah. Oh, there's a
line. That whole segment was disturbing.
It was. There was a line in one of the Garfield. Because they were doing kind of a Star Trek send up for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line where he turns to somebody and says, he's dead, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
I did. It was amusing.
I was taken aback and yet kind of happy with, like, Doom Patrol, go! Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
That was where, for a minute, I was like, this is getting weird. And then it grew on me as the bit went on.
I felt like it was a giant middle finger to everyone who bitches about Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, I did too. I was kind of proud of that. Like, oh, this is a problem? We could have done this.
Oh, yeah, you're right, that's better.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice. That was fun, especially since in the books and all, Gar comes from the Doom Patrol initially, so that was fun.
Nice throwback.
Yeah. Just like in the Titan show, they come across him when he's with the Doom Patrol.
Right. Something else I liked. Yeah. The subject matter of this season, up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like child trafficking.
Yeah.
I mean, they opened the first episode with Jefferson killing like a 12-year-old girl or something. 14-year-old
Yeah, it was like a 14-year-old girl, yeah.
No punches pulled on the subject matter they were willing to go for.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Yes, but he did grow on me quite a bit.
That Jefferson?
Oh, yeah. That Jefferson was tough to get to. Like, as much as I preach against, like, people, like, trying to compare and hold versions of characters up to other versions of characters, it is a little hard sometimes.
It can be.
But he was treated a little differently than the show Black Lightning, which wasn't really a problem for me. I didn't like the first couple episodes. I didn't care for the way they were portraying him, and it was partially because they just kind of kept having him. It was like the flashback sequences, like the sudden like PTSD flashback sequences from Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
In the theatrical cut where it just keeps cutting back and he's like, no, the kids, yeah. The kids, oh no. I'm like, yeah, we know, we're streaming this, guys. We're binging this. You're showing three episodes at a time, and the first three episodes you have like three flashbacks to the first episode. Stop.
this all is happening in one night for me.
Like every time he goes on a mission, I don't want to see no more dead kids. Well, who does? No, this should have been a mindset before
for some reason,
killed that girl.
For his character, they just assumed that everyone who was watching that evening was getting just progressively more stoned. Didn't happen for anybody else, I guess, but for him, I didn't mind.
I did like him by the end of the show, by the end of the that season. He had grown on me in a way that I was like, okay, well, I can get it. I can get down with this. Okay.
I don't think I had anything against him in particular, but... I like him as of now, so I'm not turned off by the character at all.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything going on up front that I was worried about. Oh, did you?
Oh, I'll tell you what I'm worried about.
Go ahead.
Go for it. Go. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Did you enjoy the little WB nod about the granny goggles?
What was the WB nod?
The, I forget what it was called. It was like good goggles, I think. Wasn't that the name of the product?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they used the WB's crest shape and put GG in there.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed the nod to the company in general, but some part of me was like, how self-deprecating are they really being right now? Like, to what extent are they just apologizing for some of the stuff we've seen that we know could have been better? I did like... It felt like a shot at themselves, and I appreciated that. To, you know, just... That's the bare minimum of this. But I wondered... I really did kind of wonder, who got that joke approved, and for what reason?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, Teen Titans Go always makes fun of Warner Brothers. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's not something they're incapable of doing, but...
Like, Teen Titans Go, they literally had, like, movie posters of Superman with a mustache.
I didn't see that. That's good. that's good. Also, like, I did enjoy the running storyline with the good goggles. Like the Reach still having some footprint in this universe, but there's a thing that bothered me where I feel like the show did what I honestly feel like every show has tried to do, and it may just be me. It really may be, but I really hate Granny Goodness. It's one of those things where it's like Jack Kirby did so much for us. Can we just forget about this one thing?
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you hated
still
her here as well.
Still hated it. I mean, not hate it like I normally do. It was a pretty neutral take.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a version of this where they've sold me on the character. And I don't know if I ever will.
That's strange to me.
And it feels like it's almost a thing that some writer... I'm probably projecting here, but I feel like there's a sense in some people's... in some writers where they look at that character and think, yeah, that's weird, but I can fix it. And every time I think...
Oh, yeah.
Every time I think, like, you're the guy or girl who sees this person you're attracted to with this terrible, terrible flaw that you know cannot be fixed and convinces yourself, but I can fix him or her.
Uh-huh.
And every time you end up in therapy and in tears and someone leaving in the middle of the night with half their clothes and never looking back.
I don't know, man. That might just be on you.
It may be.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a real thing, and I will tell you, every time I've seen it, I've gone, that's weird, but I think I have a take.
It's just, that's exactly it, though, is the, like, I think I have a take. I've never had anyone have a take where I'm like, yeah, okay, no, that worked.
Oh, here's a thing I feel like was fine.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like Wiseman and Vietti looked at it and said, this is weird, but I think I have a take. And the take is okay, but I like the original way better.
Uh-huh.
Forager bug, mantis, like, they didn't, I mean, yeah, they were evolved from insects in the comics.
Right.
On New Genesis, but they looked like people. And also, like, literally, like, Forager bug and mantis could take off their masks and they were people underneath.
Yeah.
Like, but importantly, even if you did make them bugs, like literal insects with like shells and shit that grow back, the pronoun thing, like, can we not? Like, Forager was the second most annoying character on this season, or on this half of the season. Like, there were a few times, Forager, I will admit, I got choked up. I was choked up. I got a little tear in my eye because Forager does not want to leave Forager's home. I get it.
Yeah, I get that. Forager generally amused me. I overall liked the character because it mm-hmm. was something lighthearted. I had no predispositions towards. Sound like Dana Carvey doing the judicial system for a second. That I had no reason to like or hate that character, and it was fine. It cracked me up.
Yeah, I don't have, like, a huge, like, emotional bond or anything to the comic book version of Forager Bug. Like, it was just a jarring take for me. I was just like, what? That's new.
That's a lot.
I don't remember them doing that ever. Like, ever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, well, the part that really got me was just how creepy Forager was with the Bioship. Oh, Bioship is good, girl. Good girl. Oh, Forager loves Bioship. Ah, like, yeah. Oh, creepy, dude. Oh. Anyway.
So you're a little put off by it. I get you. It didn't put me off. I thought it was just kind of an amusing side to the whole series, mm-hmm. where a lot of the interactions did really crack me up.
Yeah. And my biggest problems are, like, I think my biggest problem.
Oh, with I did it, like the part where he's like, I forget who he's fighting with, but he's fighting with somebody, and then he, like, comes in with the short arms and he says, like, mind the short arms. This will teach whoever it was that Forager fights dirty.
Yeah, that was funny. And I don't hate the character. I feel about him a lot like I feel like Neelix on Voyager, you know. He's a little bit of an annoying character. A little too much of him goes, you know, way too far. Like, a little bit of him goes a long way is what I'm saying. And I was a little disappointed with how much they focused on those new characters. You know, they focused on Cyborg a whole lot. They focused on Violet, and unfortunately, freaking Geo-Force. Apparently, I am just adverse to any character with Geo in their name because I hate Geomancer in The Flash.
I know, that was...
I hate Geo-Force.
That was disturbing.
Like, they did, like, the Hello Megan thing with him, where they felt like they had to give him a catchphrase, and that catchphrase was apparently, excuse me? Like,
that's weird.
Shut up, dude.
It was weird.
Shut up.
I didn't have a problem with...
You know they're training you. You know they're trying to help you, like, do your power, like, control your powers. Stop screaming, excuse me, at Dick Grayson.
Yeah. At fucking Dick Grayson, of all people. Shut your whore mouth. He will. Oh, that was who Bug was fighting, Dick Grayson. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it for two reasons. One, I didn't uh-huh. mind the character. I thought there was some real development that they went through with him that I was okay with. But two, overall, the idea that they didn't focus on some of the original characters perfectly fits this show. Really does. Like, season one,
I know.
I couldn't name you who they focused on between seasons, but I'm like, specifically, I remember, like, you'd come back for season two and whole relationships that you'd built had changed. Like, years have passed. These people are different people, and you just had to get to know the different versions of them. And and they would introduce new people that were just now part of your cast, and you had to deal with that. And
yeah,
they generally did a good job of introducing you to those people, also managing to show you the development that's happened in the background, like Dick Grayson being like some kid on a, you know, a motorcycle joking about being whelmed to freaking Nightwing now. We've gone a long way there. And you can tell, like, Miss Martian, same thing. Connor Kent, gone a long way. They've all had character progressions, but they do. Yeah, like, when they've spent a lot of time on you previously, they do backburner characters, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in new ones, and they backburner them, and they bring in, I don't know how far that formula can go, but I did. I enjoyed learning about these characters, for the most part. And I do wish I had more time with some of the older characters that, like, I agree with Aquaman now. He was great. He was a great character. Love to have more time with him. But, I mean, on the one hand, I think we will. I don't think we're done there. There's a whole second half of the season to deal with. And on the other hand, it's kind of what the show told you that it was going to do.
What I'm hoping, I know it's what the show told me it was going to do. I did want more time with the characters that, you know, I've spent the most time with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a flaw with me. This isn't the show's fault. I mean, their personification of Geo-Force is the show's fault. Don't get me wrong. I didn't care for him. This part of the show was winding down that I started to like him more, because he finally was like, okay, damn it. I think I started liking him when he's like sitting on the cliff with Dick. I'm like, okay, dude, that's good. That's good. Calm down.
Gotcha.
Stop screaming. And I'm hoping they were just setting them up, but yeah, I also knew where it was going with his sister, because I'm like, oh, you know, you're showing me Deathstroke. Yeah, I know who Terra is.
Right, yeah.
But
we know Judas Contract is in our future.
Or some variation of it, yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird to me, because the rumor going around now is that Deathstroke is the person they wanted to introduce at the end of season one of Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't feel like it was good to introduce him, and still, like, they felt like they could get better mileage out of him and, help me. I've been having trouble with names today. Raven's dead.
Yeah, Trigon. Trigon. I'm having trouble too.
I don't know why.
It's Geo-Force. He's discombobulated.
It's like the fourth name today that I've just completely not been able to remember. I forgot Karen Gillian earlier. I was talking to somebody about something.
Oh. You still have, because it's Karen Gillan.
Gillan, yeah, Gillan. I still want to go Terry Gilliam. Anyway, it would be weird to me to see what will pretty much be concurrently Deathstroke in some form versus both, like, a couple versions of, you know, Titans, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it may happen. And it's not
That's
like,
fine.
It's not like Judas Contract is the only story you can do with Deathstroke in the Titans.
No, there's absolutely not. Oh, he's popped up plenty of times.
He's popped up plenty of times.
And I hear they're bringing in his daughter, Deathstroke's daughter, into Titans season two. But we'll talk about that on the news.
Yeah.
On an upcoming news episode at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what were we talking about? I don't even.
Terra.
Terra,
and you knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was coming. I was hoping they were going to, like, not do it just to screw with me, but they did it. There might still be a separate twist where she's only pretending to be in league with them or something. Is she, like...
Yeah, they could do a double cross. They've done it on the show before.
Yeah.
But you know what's sad? I didn't catch it for a second. I just heard the name Terra. I didn't quite see what her powers were, and I hadn't associated Deathstroke for a second. So it was somewhere in the last episode. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just as mad as I was when I, like, reading the actual books on that. Kind of realized what was coming. Like, oh, you bitch. They like you.
You think they're going to do the Deathstroke and Terra getting it on thing in this show?
Maybe.
They might, as balls out as they're getting with this show.
They might. I don't want to put it past them. They might.
Yeah, but she was like, brother, you have no idea the things I've done. I'm like, I have an idea.
I have something I'd add to the checklist. We'll see.
Is the name Slade on that list?
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
And
it's creepy, man.
With this show, we may still get more. We will. We probably will get more characters introduced. Like, I forget the name of the mute guy who helps them out in that. I have to look that up. But Yeah, you may see him. It may go full throttle.
Yeah. Yeah, they might. I've enjoyed the show. I enjoyed it. I know I'm complaining a lot.
Complained about Granny Goodness and being used in general, and it's still not a knock on this show. I just think there's like a cap on that character that's lower than I think some people realize. Yeah. For me.
I don't know. I like it. If I had a time machine, I don't even know if she's still alive or what. I would love Dr. Ruth as Granny Goodness in something.
No. I would... Like, if I was near that and had the ability to, I would tank the production of that immediately. Just, nope. Down the hole.
So you want something to fail just because you don't like it, even though other people might like it? God, you sound like fan Twitter.
Right. Oh, by the way, something... I almost forgot about this.
What's up?
A lot of Court of Owls nods in those masks all season.
Yeah, that felt Court of Owls-y, but I don't think that's what they were doing.
I'm not sure yet.
I suspect they were just like... I mean, it was a room full of, like, evil rich people. I'm pretty sure they just had masks so no one could take pictures of them.
I mean, they might, but you choose that mask shape in particular. Could have picked anything.
Yeah, I mean, it came to mind, but, I kind of talked myself out of it. It could
just be a cute nod, and they may be building it in. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I talked myself out of it as an actual story thread, but... am I the only one that's really worried about Wolf?
Yeah, I'm pretty worried about Wolf.
Like, don't...
There has to be a payoff for why Wolf has just been sleeping for an entire half season.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I don't want Wolf to go.
There's got
to
be something going on.
I mean,
there.
He's like an alien dog. Can't he just, like, live forever like Superman or something?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I did really enjoy the, the end credits gags where it would just show, like, the car still being on. It'd just be a still image of the car and then the sound of a car in general.
Yeah. My favorite of the gags was the Lobo episode, we saw his thumb laying there.
Yeah.
Or his pinky or whatever it was. And then, like, a few episodes later, we see it sitting there again and it's just rotting ever so slightly.
Yeah. The end credits gags were great. I really enjoyed that. Except the fact that you're right. I was very worried about Wolf by the end of it. Because they even made it a point in the show several times to say, like, does that dog do anything but sleep? Nah.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. Find a vet. I don't know if there's some kind of, like, veterinarian, right. Take him to it.
I feel like Star Lab should open up their own, like, separate vet offices. But, yeah. I feel like they probably would have already done it. And they'd be like, nope, he's just old. He's just getting... I mean, he is getting old.
He is.
In the show's timeline.
He is. He is. But my thinking is always, like, large dogs live longer than small dogs. It's not always true, but it's a decent general rule. So my thinking is, like, that guy's huge. He'll long live, way outlive the series. He'll be fine. I don't know. You're right. I agree. It worried me. I want to see where that
goes. When he, like, sprung into action that last episode and then very quickly got put down and that little yelp, I felt real bad.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't yelp, Wolf.
No. I know. I understand.
That bothered me way more than anything else that happened in the show.
You were far more invested. I'm like,
whatever, teen trafficking, little girl getting killed over and over again, whatever. But don't you hurt Wolf.
Right. Yeah, that's usually my instinct, too. Like, there was an episode of BTAS, or was it later in the series, where, like, I think it was later in the series, like, way later, maybe. Where there's a break-in, and for a second you hear Ace whimper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where that was in the placement of that, on that timeline, or what part of the, which series that happened in. But there's, like, a moment where there's a break-in to Wayne Manor, and...
Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker.
Thank you. Okay, so it was that late. Late. Mm-hmm. Like, almost end of the game late.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, a moment where I heard Ace whimper, and I was like, oh, God. Like, that was the most angry I got. Not torturing a tiny Robin. That didn't get under my skin, but...
No, it was specifically when the Joker broke into Wayne Manor. It was Bruce sitting there with Ace. Ace rears up and starts growling. He runs off in the dark, or up the stairs or whatever, and you hear the... Yeah, and I was just like...
But yeah, that got me physically angry. I was like, if you hurt that dog, I will find a way to make you reel and hurt you. I will punch Mark Hamill.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons I still haven't watched the John Wick movies, because I know the inciting incident.
That first scene's rough, man. It really is.
I know the inciting incident. But I barely made it through Marley and Me. I can't do this.
I know. Marley and Me was rough. I think the reason the John Wick movies did so well was simply because it's so relatable. Like, there's no way you see what happened in that movie and you don't think, yeah, I'd kill everyone. I'd kill everyone even attached to this act. Everyone tangentially part of what happened here is dying.
It was the John Wick situation was smart because I feel like they said, okay, we have a really badass idea for a movie where lots of guns and things are happening. And
we have
this
a good idea
age,
of how to shoot a lot of good, fun gun action. How do we justify that? Oh, kill a puppy. Good job.
Yeah,
good
exactly.
Job, good job.
How do, in this day of sensitive Twitter users who are going to attack our movie and get bad press on us if we have too much gunplay, how do we fix this? We kill a puppy.
You kill a
and
puppy.
They will completely understand. And they did. Like, I don't think one person
and the
said,
entirety
you know
of Twitter
what?
Went, yep. Yep.
Those men killed a puppy.
There's nothing redeemable I can fight against here. Yep. John Wick equals right.
Anyway. Yeah, one of the big downfalls for shows like this, especially this series, because it has done so much, and Batman the Brave and the Bold had this issue, and it's not really even a problem, except that it's a little bit of a problem, you know what I mean? Like, it's fantastic, because for years we looked at Batman the Animated Series, we looked at Superman the Animated Series, and Justice League even, until like that final season when, oh my damn.
Unlimited,
but.
Yeah.
You look at it and you go like, God, I just wish that we could, you know, get time with this character. I wish we could see a little more of this character. Like, I wish we could see, like, how big the DC universe is. You see it in this show.
You do.
Unfortunately, it comes at the expense of, like, getting time with your primary characters.
Yeah, some of your favorites hit the back burner for a second. That's a mathematical problem. There's nothing I think the showrunners can do to fix it.
Yeah. At this point, I think it might be fair to stop calling it Young Justice. You should just call it DC Universe. But make it the flagship show for the entire service.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, just have those guys, like, do a spinoff where it's just like Brave and the Bold type stories every week because that have like a little tie-in. But anyway, I don't know. I that's basically what they're doing. They can call it whatever the hell they want.
Well, Young Justice is... It does seem to pride itself on really having a story they're telling. And they will sacrifice what they did last season to be able to do it this season. Yeah. They'll say like, oh, by the way, this person's this now and this person's this now. We'll give you a couple minutes of exposition to catch up, but you know, we're not gonna give the details of how Aqualad was inducted into the Justice League and given the title and all that. But we're not gonna worry about that. We're just gonna give you a quick scene showing that he's in charge of the Justice League this round. You know, it'll be somebody else next year. Good for them. But they sacrifice a lot of possible exposition and a lot of possibly decent payoff moments for telling you a huge story that they really invest in, and they spend a lot of time developing new characters to make sure they can do a new story. Like, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. The other side of the coin, though, is when you're doing a show like this, you tend to forget people that you would think should be around, and it's way more exciting when they show up. Like Vic, I was like, Cyborg, oh my God, I forgot about Cyborg. And then just a few minutes ago, I was sitting here going like, well, I was thinking, as you were talking, I was like, oh yeah, I should mention that I was really glad that Dick and Barbara were together. Oh my God, they haven't done Corey yet. They haven't done Starfire. Where's Starfire?
Right. It does, because it's so expansive, and it never seems to stop, like, accumulating new parts and throwing away the old in some way. Like, yeah, you can for sure sit there and watch it thinking, oh, damn, next season might have Starfire. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I wouldn't mind if they actually just did a Batman and the Outsider spinoff, because that episode was great.
Yeah. Oh, the big fight? Oh God!
Yeah,
fantastic.
Metamorpho is like. By the way, I'm in constant pain, so
I don't care about all that.
Whatever. I'm gonna see if this is yours too. My favorite episode of this half season, the Vandal Savage episode.
God, I have to ask you to remind me what happened. So I guess it's not my favorite.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so. We get Vandal's daughter,
the flashbacks,
who is retelling his story, and because she keeps like she's reading his journal,
yeah,
And we're seeing like these flashbacks about how he was a caveman, then he was a hero, and then he was, you know, whatever, demigod, whatever, all these different things. He was Genghis Khan at some point.
Right.
And like the lady who gives the journal to his daughter keeps saying, "Did you get to the part with the bear? That's my favorite part."
Right.
And you're like,
right.
"Oh, something's going down with this lady. She's losing it." And then at the end, when she's like, "Oh, this was a great victory. I'll have to put it down in the journal." And he's like, "You know, we've talked about this. I've told you I don't want you writing down my story because I have plans that are millennia long." And he like puts her his hands on either side of her face, and he says, why is the bear the favorite part, your favorite part?" And she explains that it was because it was from before he was a god, and he still overcame, and etc. And he snaps her neck.
Right.
And it's at that point we find out she was a daughter of Savage as well.
Right.
And he's sparing her because her mind is going, and she's to have the best of everything at the funeral. It was just heartbreaking. And this is probably, I don't know, between that and between this one and Justice League Unlimited, my favorite version of Vandal Savage. Like this
they
that
have
episode
a good version
that
of Vandal
entire
Savage. Like even his deal with Darkseid, that he's, you know, he had a plan for 50,000 years or whatever it says, and you know, he sees a bigger fish and says, "Fuck it. Well, I guess I got to deal with his plan."
Yeah. Well, I mean, they literally show like Darkseid like killing him with his Omega beams, and then he like comes back, and Darkseid's like, "Shit. Okay.
Okay."
I mean, this army, useful. This technology is shit, but you know, all right.
but he's clearly got something I can take advantage of. That's what Darkseid thinks.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. I don't know. We're not supposed to compare, but screw it. That one episode of Vandal Savage was just like shit all over the first season of Legends of Tomorrow, man.
Yeah, I do agree. It was better character development in one episode, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was tragic and amazing, and that was my favorite episode of the season. I was just like, yes, please, more Vandal Savage, more of all that.
That was good. That really was good. I don't think I have a favorite episode, necessarily. I did watch them very quickly. It's hard to parse them out. Mm-hmm. I think I had one favorite episode.
Well, I think that episode really stands out to me more than any of the others. Like, the two standouts are the Gar episode and the Vandal Savage episode.
That would be the other one I would say is the Nightmare Monkeys. Would be, because it really tested what the show was willing to do for a second. I mean, it really went in some weird places. And it also gave me some time with Gar, who's, I really enjoyed Gar. It was, like you said, I got some more time with somebody that I hadn't had time with really that season.
Yeah.
But man, overall, that fight scene with like Batman and Katana and Metamorpho and freaking Lady.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been one of my favorite sequences of the entire show.
Yeah. Like, I seriously considered like writing in somehow, finding a way to contact them and saying, "Could this episode be a backdoor pilot? Please."
for more of this. All of this and more. Yes, please.
Bruce Greenwood should absolutely be Batman more. Mm. Let's do all of this.
He's the damn fine bats.
There are big chunks of this half season that I really loved, and there are some chunks I didn't like at all. But I don't know. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not angry at them. I feel like they should be able to do whatever they want, even if it is something as silly as Forager. The way they portrayed him, I think it was silly. I still cared about the character. When Lobo smashed, when they made it look like they killed his character,
right.
Like I almost didn't trust them. I was like, "That is brutal, dude. Please tell me they didn't kill Forager." Like, I was sad. I was like, "Please tell me he's hiding somewhere and that was a fake. Please." Right. Even though he was annoying. It's just sometimes like he goes on about this stuff. Like when he was going on all about the names, like, he thought he was playing a game and humans didn't understand. I'm like, shut up. No. It's very clear that no one else is doing this. Stop.
See, that didn't bother me. But, enjoyed it. I enjoyed the little asides.
Yeah. But I still cared about the character, and I'm not mad at the creators for doing the show they wanted to do. That's what I'm saying. I'll keep watching. I enjoyed the show. That's the takeaway here. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry if I came off too negative. But
no, I don't think you did, no. It's really one of those shows where if you talk about it long enough, you'd be like, "Well, I don't know about that part." But if you know, watching the last of any episode of Young Justice, if you watching any episode of Young Justice, if you really ask me about it, I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna click next now, and you can watch it with me, but I don't really feel like talking about it. Let's dig in. We got another. There's another episode available, man. What do you want to? Come on.
Yep.
Why are we wasting time?
I was I think it was interesting, and I don't know if they were just doing it as an Easter egg, but bringing in Stargirl as the host of that little documentary or that little news thing, whatever it was.
Yeah.
When she was interviewing Gar.
Yeah.
I was like, are we actually going to see Justice Society this year, or are they building up to it? Because I know they're doing a Stargirl show.
Yeah.
A live-action Stargirl
show. But it's a Stargirl live-action, yeah. I don't think they're going to... They also, DC Universe has not decided to what extent they want their shows tied in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Swamp Thing has nothing to do with anything else. Doom Patrol was clearly backdoor piloted by Titans.
Mm-hmm.
But Stargirl is, Swamp Thing and Stargirl are completely on their own.
How much would you love it if they brought all of them in for Crisis on Infinite Earths over on CW? Just for a minute.
Oh, be amazing. Just be amazing.
Just to see how it feels.
I mean, I'd just be yelping in my chair, like pausing and yelping in my chair. A lot of fuck yes and just guttural sounds. Yeah.
I've seen him do it. It's quite amusing, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the, I don't know if they're going to do that. And they're keeping their cards a little close to the vest on how much they want to tie in the shows as they're coming. And I get it. I mean, they're starting a thing. They don't want to commit to, oh, there's going to be a crossover like CW has and stuff like that. Because that is an expectation people have. They don't want to commit to that kind of thing right now.
Yeah, they don't want to. And that's fine.
And they're also...
I'm fine with it.
Like, the way they're airing their shows, they're also kind of... They apparently have decided that the summer break is bullshit. Much like I think the CW has decided they're going to break that egg.
Network television is already breaking that. Like, yeah, they're just going to... Everybody's doing that. Everybody's doing it, man.
That summer break you had when you were a kid where, like, you only saw reruns during pretty much June, July, and most of August. I think that's about to become a thing of the past. I get it, though. They got to keep up with streaming, and they got to keep having a reason for people to buy ads during the summer, and it's just getting weird for them. They're adapting. I don't think that's some of the bad adaptations.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened before.
The what?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened before.
Me too. Like, but I think streaming is what really pushed it.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Like the fact that they're competing with something that is pretty low cost. I mean, $10 a month or so for Netflix, and kind of the fuck you. I can turn off my cable for 3 months and save that money and get a new deal in September kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You really can. You used to be able to do that. I think the networks need a reason for someone to actually have to have your subscription for 12 months.
Yeah.
And they're trying to course correct on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I'll pay.
I get it. I get it.
And, you know, I know well, you know, people would, like, do the trial and they'd, you know, binge watch a show and then cancel their service, or just watch it for as long as that show is on and, you know, get it back when the show comes back.
Yeah.
They're trying to get rid of that. And now I see that Netflix is trying to get rid of the sharing passwords thing. Like, they're starting to, like, test that out. Like, see if they can... they've got software that can tell if you're, like, letting your mom use it or something.
Yeah.
In another state or whatever. So, I mean, they're going to slowly root all that out so that everyone's paying. But until then, whee!
Yeah. Softcore piracy is what that's called, I think.
Yeah. But, you know... It'll eventually come down to bundles where they'll make deals and stuff with different entities, and we'll be able to bundle it. It'll be like $50 a month for all the services.
Yeah, it'll be $24.99 for Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime or some shit.
Yeah, but it'll be all right. We'll figure it out.
It'll adapt.
It always killed me as a kid. I'm like, so you're telling me I'm out of school and I now have time to watch TV unfettered and there's no new TV?
Yeah, annoying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up in an age where, like, you had to go find media physically to watch to fill that gap, and there just wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Your local... we had Video Express and Movie Gallery in my area, but those two died before Blockbuster. Like, we didn't have a Blockbuster. Actually, the Blockbuster we did have was in Irondale, and it's a liquor store now, which makes so much sense to me.
That makes sense.
But yeah, you had to go find physical media. You had to go out every night and ask what am I getting, and that was an hour's worth of like going there and walking between aisles and picking it out and taking it back. And then you had maybe 2.5 hours max of material that you were watching, and then, well, that's done now, and I guess I have to find something to do and go to bed. You could just like come home, turn on the show you were watching that immediately knows exactly where you left off, like a damn genie, like your own personal television magician.
Mm-hmm.
And just watch until your heart's content. Watch until you look at the clock and think, I'm being an irresponsible human adult.
Yeah.
And turn it off. And be sad about the fact that you have to turn it off. And try to go to bed now, even though you were just watching something really exciting and there's no way your brain can do that. And then you lay there for 40 minutes and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Now you have to get an app like Headspace that gives you a little freaking meditation to go to sleep, and that's $12.99 a month, and there's all the other adaptations.
Yeah.
Different times.
You know, when I was a kid, when I was about 10 years old, I remember the video stores started all doing these deals where it was like, you know, you can check out 6 movies at a time for, you know, a very lessened cost, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have it for a week, and
they would fine your ass to hell if you didn't have backup time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I remember telling my mom, as we were picking out our numerous movies, I told my mom, I said, this is great, but cable is killing the video stores. And she said, what do you mean? What does cable have to do with it? I'm like, people are watching movies on cable instead of going to the video store.
Yeah.
Video stores are going to go away.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Like, the fact that they're doing this 6 movies at a time, this is bad.
You're telling your mom, this like, is a big... you don't understand. You don't understand. Bishop to D4. This is only a matter of time.
And her response was, well, you better hope that before you move out, because I'm not buying cable. I'm like, oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
We had no concept of the internet. We didn't know. But, you know, it's weird to think about.
Oh, and hell, that was almost 10 years before the time where like you would get a video that lasted 8 seconds. It was terrible quality. It was physically 2 by 3 inches on your physical monitor, and it would take up 10% of your entire hard drive.
Yeah.
I always joke about how I remember with my dad actually buying a hard drive that was 1 gigabyte. It was 1024 megabytes. And I remember actually, like, we were talking to each other, like, how are we ever going to fill this up? Like, what could we possibly put on it?
Yeah, it's wild.
Different times.
Oh, I remember doing that several times, where it was just like, oh, man.
At some point, I still remember getting a 512 megabyte hard drive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I still remember 144 and a 256, but still, the 512 was the one that really blew my mind. I was like, God, what am I ever going to do to put all anything on this? I'd have to write the Great American Novel. I'd have to write Ulysses with, like, a foreword from War and Peace to make this thing.
And yeah. I have, like, 2 multi-terabyte hard drives, and I'm still going, what am I ever going to do to fill all this up?
Yeah. I've got about
the same thing.
1.5 terabytes right now, and it's still telling me, hey, you need to read some stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, we've trailed off quite significantly.
You know what wouldn't have a problem with this? Is that damn ship.
Yeah?
Just trying to roughly bring it back to Young Justice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's probably
bike.
True.
Bike, or whatever it's called. He'd be fine. He should be fine. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's the closest I get to bringing it back. I'm sorry. It was pretty weak.
I'm pretty interested to find out why Raish is no longer part of the light.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where, I don't know.
Or did they say and I missed it?
I don't remember hearing Raish anywhere in the season, but...
Oh, you remember when they... You don't remember when they went to, what was it called? Infinity Island? And Raish was there, and he was like, I'm no longer part of the light.
Oh, yeah.
And then Geo-Force is like, you a lie! And Dick was like, Raish Al Ghul is many things, but he is not a liar.
Yeah, I do remember that scene. I do not remember if there's anything before that that's supposed to tell me. That may be lost to my memories of season 2 when I really watched that about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
honestly, week to week, we're following a good 10 or 12 shows right now. Just
something.
Just in DC, not including like other stuff I want to watch, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Superstore.
Oh, girl, I'm getting
something.
My Brooklyn Nine-Nine in. I'm getting my Nine-Nine in, girl.
You watching Superstore? Because watch Superstore.
I don't watch Superstore now.
You'd enjoy it, I think. But anyway.
I might, but, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't even include stuff that I watch on the side.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm cheating on DC.
I'm so far behind on my Marvel watching that it's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, they put out that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer for this coming season for summer, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah.
I'm down.
This looks also, so good.
I'm still really enjoying The Gifted. Still watch that shit every week.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I get excited when I see the new episode.
And my wife watches it begrudgingly.
No, I'm not begrudging.
She's had it on. I enjoy it. She's had it on, and it's not good.
I disagree. I enjoy it.
All right, well, that's fine. I'm glad for you, man. I don't think I'll ever board that train.
It's fine. That's fine.
All right, so do you have anything else with Young Justice?
No, not that I can think of. I think we've covered it. We'll be back in, I don't know, a month and a half or so with the second half, I think.
I thought you were saying, like, our show, DC on Screen, was going to be back in a month
and
a half.
Yeah, back in a month and a half.
I'm like, we missed like a week. Finally. Can you not over-exaggerate that? But yeah, no.
No, I think it's longer. No, I'm sorry. It's much longer. My bad. They don't have real time.
I thought it was like July or something.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a minute.
That's fine. I don't need it right now. We're about to start Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
And that's just fine. I've got plenty to watch. I'm still watching Arrow, Flash, all the other things.
Oh, yeah. You scroll down my like TV time to watch list and it's daunting.
Mm-hmm.
It is straight up daunting.
And I mean, right now I got Celebrity Big Brother going on. Mm-hmm. That's like three nights a week.
I've had people talking to me about Punisher season 2, and I've just had to tell them, yeah, man, I'll get back to you this summer.
It will. When I watch Punisher season 2, it will have long since been canceled.
Oh, yeah. I expect it to be canceled within the month.
Yeah, it'll probably be canceled next week.
Yeah, within the month. That's still my my prediction.
Mm-hmm. Any guy. What? Anyway. Prayers for Wolf.
Yeah.
Hope they find some sort of Time Lord energy in there. He regenerates or something.
Yeah. Don't know what's going on with that. It's the scariest part so far of the season.
A little bit. Here's hoping that, you know, Aquaman just retired. Is that a thing? Can a king do that? Can a king just abdicate the throne because he's tired as hell?
I don't know. Maybe you split the title for you're the Justice League's Aquaman and you're the Seven Seas Aquaman. I don't know. You can abdicate a throne, though. That's the reason they have that.
Well, sure.
That word.
I mean, sure, but I don't see Arthur abdicating for any reason other than he's dead.
Yeah, that would be top reason. Sure, no doubt.
I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for Arthur.
I get it.
I think the problem is the Young Justice version looks way too much like the Brave and the Bold version.
Oh yeah.
The Brave and the Bold version is just like my damn favorite version of Aquaman that's ever existed.
I understand.
I just want that guy to be okay forever.
Yeah. It's an adorable version.
Right. Not that Ted McGinley version from the final episode.
Yeah.
Damn it. We're going to go now. We can rattle forever for no reason.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to DC on Screen.
It's a safe one.
Thank you for listening to DC on Screen. DCOnScreen.com for every episode for free. Everyone. All 520, whatever the hell I said earlier.
Mm. Six, I think.
526 now. 526. What the hell, man? Yeah. It's always surprising to me. I can't believe we did that many of a thing.
I know. The editing alone.
All right. We'll be we'll be back with a much needed news episode in a few days. We're recording that on Saturday, is that right? Is that what we're shooting for?
That's what we're shooting for.
What we're shooting for?
That's what we're shooting for.
It'll be sometime soon, relatively.
So it was kind of what we were shooting for, and then my wife told me about a bunch of stuff she had to do, and it was, I don't know if that's gonna.
Well, that's fine. We can do it next Wednesday. I don't care. I mean, I care. Don't think I don't care about you, dear listener.
Yeah. Well, we're still shooting for it. Don't know. She sent me like a list of things she has to get done Saturday. I was okay. All right. Well, that's all about the time okay. I think I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm. That does sound like you're screwed.
She has some important stuff coming up she's preparing for, so.
Hey, life happens, man.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do that news episode, we're going to be talking about that Shazam teaser that we never talked about. We're going to talk about, because we've had a little, kind of a weird release schedule here.
Right.
And the Birds of Prey teaser that they just came out with as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, looking forward to talking about all that stuff. I don't even think I've really talked about it with you.
Not much.
Because we're all busy and shit.
Yeah, in brief, about 15 seconds in, that one shot in the Shazam trailer is now one of my favorite shots in any movie ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The shot where he jumps off of the building.
You know exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
He jumps off the building, gets hit, screams Shazam, gets hit by the lightning bolt.
And just flies away. Oh, God, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I could chew on that. Fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, all right, well,
geek out about that more later.
We are, of course, on Facebook. We have a Facebook group as well. I'll try to remember to put links in the show notes. Or you can go to dconscreen.com where we just have a link to it. And until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Our opening narration was from Dan Juergens' The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David C. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Future Elevators, could be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Effie Opelders of the fantastic podcast Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud. It can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We are proudly in partnership with TV Time, TV show calendar and social media site that lets you keep track of what you're watching, what your friends are watching, and where you all left off. DC On Screen is a Maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, an improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.
Are you maladjusted?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.